Hello and welcome. This is part two of a two-part study on the fruit of the Spirit. In part one, we established the fundamental principles and importance of fruit in relation to the kingdom of God. In this second part, we focus on details of the nine fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. In our personal experience and relationship with God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit is absolutely vital. Bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit make it possible to encourage and sustain growth, as well as preserving the unity of the fellowship in the bond of peace. Serious individual commitment to the Lord and to the church is the basis for the development of spiritual fruit, which we define briefly as follows from Galatians 5 verses 22 to 23. Number 1, love. Love encompasses and is an integral part of every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. It must be the underlying motive of every manifestation of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the pervasiveness, importance, and enduring nature of the love of God is underlined. Love must be the motive and bond that cements every one of our actions. But what is the love of God? The Bible teaches us that to love the Lord is to obey and serve Him. It identifies those who are disciplined by Him. We read in John 13 verses 34 to 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." The genuine love of God identifies the true disciples of God, and the first principle of the genuine love of God is obedience to God's commandments. 1 John 5 verses 2 to 3 states the following, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." John 14 verse 21. Jesus taught that we are to love one another. In the church, this means happy and harmonious fellowship and cooperation, caring for, supporting, and serving one another, not competing with each other nor looking for reward. It is being reliable and responsible. Love never backbites. Love does not condone misbehavior. It supports the oversight of God. Love for someone outside the fellowship includes telling them about salvation, that they may also have an opportunity to become part of the church. Number 2, joy. Joy is not synonymous with happiness. The joy that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit is not dependent on feelings and external circumstances. It is dependent on the confidence that God gives Spirit-filled people, which is that God will meet their needs according to His word and will in every situation. Joy is evidence of the dialogue that exists between God and His people. It is knowledge that circumstances pass, but a Spirit-filled relationship with God is eternal. Joy is not transitory, it is steadfast confidence in God's immutability. We read in 1 Peter 1 verses 6 to 9, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Number 3, peace. Contrary to popular natural opinion, peace is not merely absence of conflict, nor is it tolerance between those with opposing views. Peace is not compromise, True peace is unity with God. The fruit of the Spirit is the unity of the Spirit. It is united acceptance of and obedience to the Word of God. Spiritual peace incorporates inward contentment, knowing that nothing in the world can harm the eternal relationship God's people have with Him. We read in Romans 5, verses 1 to 2, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." This peace is something that the world cannot offer. We read in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, "Be careful, that is anxious, for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Number 4, long-suffering. This is perseverance. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 11 that we are to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Long-suffering is not crumbling when adverse circumstances arise, no matter how tough they might seem. It is not dropping out if someone or something in the church does not please us. It means sitting tight and supporting each other until Jesus comes again. Our relationship with our Spirit-filled brothers and sisters looks beyond natural faults and failings. Personal likes and dislikes are immaterial. Long-suffering obviates contention. It is to believe that the Lord is not going to let the church down and to act accordingly. The church is in training for eternity. Number 5, gentleness. The world is a place of arrogance and pushiness. The Christian is not to be arrogant nor overbearing. The Christian is to be kind, courteous, and always to conduct oneself with gentle bearing and good manners toward each other and towards all people. Listen to each other. Maybe someone has a need and is asking for help. Be ready to do this, even in the smallest way, and never look for reward. This attribute is a significant aspect of our testimony to the unbeliever. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Number 6, goodness. This is not self-righteousness or boastfulness in being good at something. It is to demonstrate the goodness of God. It is being good, but not better than others. Goodness incorporates compassion, which is practical help, not encouragement for the self-indulgence of self-pity. Our first responsibility towards the unsaved is to offer the salvation message. But the saved situation that we are offering must be obviously desirable through our example of godly living. We read in Ephesians 5 and verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Number 7, faith. This is trust and confidence that God is able to keep his promises and that we are fully persuaded by those promises. It also means faithfulness, that is, steadfastness, to the calling of God into which we have entered. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive faith as a gift, and it is the faith of Jesus Christ of which we receive a full measure. As a fruit of the Spirit, this is an attribute Christians must recognize and use. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we are given more faith than we will ever need. It is the development of this faith that is spiritual fruit. Faith matures and confidence develops as we see God confirming his word in ourselves and others. Faith matures with every answered prayer. We must always acknowledge answers to prayer and thank God for them. God always answers us, so faith is developed by praying and expecting God to answer in his time and in his way. God's answer is not always what we expect. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Therefore, it is important to be in as many meetings as possible and to listen to the ministry of the word of God. We're also encouraged to pray in the Holy Spirit, which is praying in tongues, as identified in 1 Corinthians 14 verses 2 and 14. In Jude 20, this is identified as effectively building ourselves up in the most holy faith. Number 8. Meekness. Contrary to philosophy, meekness is not weakness. It is a strong characteristic of the Christian. It does not mean to be weak or spineless. The Greeks used this word to describe the breaking in of horses. The horse is not made weak, but its strength is controlled and directed to useful purposes. Meekness means controlled or channeled strength. A meek Christian is willingly controlled and directed by the Word of God. This is about humility and submission to the overruling will of God. A meek person is not swayed by every wind of doctrine. Meekness precludes striving and contention. The Christian submits to God's control but develops and builds every positive aspect of character and personality that is according to Scripture. We can have fun, become educated, enjoy the things God created for us to enjoy, and fulfill the potential that God has planted in each one of us, while also being an active, busy member of the assembly to which we belong. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, the man of God is encouraged to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Number 9. Temperance. In 1 Corinthians 9 verses 24 to 25, we are reminded that the race of life that we run requires that we are fully committed to finish the course. To reach the end requires self-control, discipline, a consistent and persistent application. Those who reach the end will receive the same incorruptible crown of life. Those who drop out will miss out. Temperance means to be regulated by God. A similar word is temperament, meaning our disposition, attitude. Another related word is temper, which describes a degree of control over our passions. The word temperature also bears significance, the degree of hotness or coldness. An even temperature describes a situation in which we are under control, not running at extremes of hot and cold. The Christian is admonished to maintain a constant burning desire for God and his kingdom. It is an individual race, and the ultimate reward depends on our individual relationship with God. However, as we move together, members of the church, the body of Christ, can encourage one another, and this is what fellowship of the saints is all about. Temperance means consistently continuing on in our experience. Bursts of enthusiasm interspersed with doubts and fears does not portray temperate consistency. It is not a good testimony to eulogize our salvation experience to others and then lose it through intemperate inconsistency and extreme behavior. We must patiently retain our overcoming testimony through every situation. Remember that overcoming is a verb, a doing word. Overcoming requires daily manifestation of temperance. James 1 and verse 12 states, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verses 7 to 8, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul looked forward, as all other Christians are likewise encouraged, to the end of the course that God has placed us on. Our ultimate destiny with him. Temperance and perseverance, long-suffering, mean that we keep going until we reach the end of the race. Development and application of the fruit of the Spirit will support us all the way to reach our ultimate destination, so that as we read in 1 John 3 and verse 2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We also read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in Romans 2 and verse 7, the persistent and consistent Christians are identified as those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, and are rewarded with eternal life. Such is the importance of bearing the fruit of the Spirit, yielding everlasting returns to God and benefits to mankind. We conclude with a thought from the consummation of all things, the final result of bearing the fruit of God into the ages of eternity to come. We read in Revelation 22, verses 1 to 4, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads."